I'd like to call the meeting, Community and Regional Affairs, to order. For the record, it is 3:37 p.m. on April 4th. We're in the Belts Committee Room of the Tom Stewart Building, and we do have a quorum to do business. Senator McKinnon, Senator Stedman, myself, Senator Bishop, Senator Hoffman, and Senator Gardner are away on other state business, and I expect them here. I'd like to recognize our staff today, Ann Krekelberg, Senate Records, Ben Manley, our teleconference network operator. We know the cell phone drill. And first on our agenda is, we're going to do 18, I think. Everybody got 18 in front of them?
Yeah.
So, Race Classics by Representative Ortiz. So, I believe if you bring yourself up to the table, and I believe Senator McKinnon has an amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I offer amendment number one.
I'll object to the purposes of discussion.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, amendment number one proposes to limit the amount of bills that come before the legislature on selecting winners and losers on games of chance for guessing about the winning times of a human race or races. Mr. Chairman, what it does is on page 1, lines 4 through 10, it deletes all materials and inserts, and I quote, parentheses 40, parentheses race classic, means a game of chance where prizes are awarded for the closest guess or guesses of the official winning times of a human race or races, and it deletes then the rest of that sentence. Mr. Chairman.
Can we take a brief break?
Sure.
Back on the record. Thank you, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we heard the bill last week, I went to state statutes and looked up all the different spots where we are saying yes or no to competition in the state of Alaska. I'm not sure the benefit except to know that these races are going on and to delay communities from trying to advocate under a nonprofit status to provide additional funds or honor particular people. Mr. Chairman, I don't believe there's any harm in the deletion of having each community having to come forward and go through this process.
Thank you. Senator Stedman? Questions?
Yeah.
Question? Okay, I saw your pencil up, so usually that's a sign for me that you've got a question.
With you're calling the question.
Yeah. Would the sponsor like to make a statement?
I would.
Bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Senator McKinnon, for bringing this amendment for our consideration today. And let me start by saying that I appreciate the intent of your amendment and the concerns that amendment potentially would address. I appreciate that very much. However, your amendment, I believe, addresses race classics, correct?
That portion of code that affects 05.15.690.
Okay. And so we also went back and looked into the record, and a legislative body has not ever been presented with a request for sponsorship of a race classic, since 1993. It's not something that comes before this committee and occupies, or any body of the legislature occupies any amount of their time in terms of in recent history. It's just not an issue. And so with that said, I think the concern I have with the amendment is that it opens up the potential for any particular person with a permit to be able to piggyback on the event of, in this case, the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce and their sponsorship of this particular event, which is, again, I remind you, it's a race between Port Townsend, Washington, and Ketchikan, Alaska. And if this amendment would go forward, there'd be nothing to prevent another body, either in close proximity to Ketchikan or not, to say, okay, we want to also have a gaming opportunity, sponsor a gaming opportunity for our group on this particular event and using this particular permit, and thereby diluting the potential revenue that might come forward to the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce. So that's my concern with the amendment, and again, your concern about, you know, about the potential of communities or groups coming before this legislation asking for permission, on the face of it has merit, but if you look at the history, that doesn't happen. It hasn't happened since 1993. So I don't see the purpose of the amendment.
Thank you. And I'd like the record reflect that Senator Gardner's been with us for quite some time. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While it is true that particular section of code has not been amended, there are over 49 different selections, so I could ask the chairman to hold the bill so I could go through all 49 sections and just open it up if you would prefer, versus just an amendment to your particular section. Happy to do that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Representative Ortiz, comment?
Senator, I appreciate that, and certainly wouldn't see the need for that particular action be taken. However, your concerns are about the broader list of races and events that happen that are throughout the state. Is that correct,
Mr. Chairman? I'm not.
I guess what I would say is if we had a bill to address the broader issue, a different bill, fine, that'd be great. But this particular amendment addresses specifically the race classics issue. And your goals of addressing a broader issue, I don't think would be achieved by this particular amendment. So that's where I'm at with that.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Gardner, any comments?
I haven't seen the amendment, Mr. Chair.
We're getting you.
Signaling my staff are here.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. What we're going to do for now is we're going to set this bill aside till Thursday. So I'm going to take a brief at ease. On the record, next up for bill consideration is Representative Edgman's bill, HB 8. When we last considered, HB 8, Senator McKinnon had amendment. So I ask Senator McKinnon to move her amendment, please.
I move amendment number one.
Thank you, and I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, amendment number one aligns state statute with federal statute in regards to protective orders for victims of domestic violence. Mr. Chairman, there are multiple complications in coming into compliance with the federal law. This bill is incompliant and I believe is not supported by the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, nor the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. The concern from agencies that advocate on behalf of those affected by domestic violence believe that a perpetrator's name should be in court view and available for the general public to purview. We had Nancy Mead at our last meeting from the courts say to us that she could suggest an amendment to the bill. I believe it was to use the word a petitioner, because she explained that that the court, under the current proposed language, would have to take all records down from court view to be in compliance with what this amendment proposes. In compliance and in response to other states that we have agreements with, the courts already do not show the victim nor the perpetrator on court view. So I'm put in an awkward situation of advocating for something that is fair to everyone under the eyes of the court or the law. Mr. Chairman, members of Community and Regional Affairs Committee, I believe that this should advance in the bill to the Judiciary Committee, and they should have a robust conversation around what is currently shown on court view. As I understand it, about 3,400 protection orders are issued, at least in the previous year. And in a conversation that I had, I was told that about, not 50% of the 3,400, but about 50% of those that are seeking protective orders are denied, that that the reasons that they give for a court order, protective order to be issued, may not reach the threshold to actually qualify. The concern I have with using the language that the court proposes, a petitioner, is that anyone can go to the court and ask for a protective order and give a specific set of circumstances, but the accused does not have any input into the conversation at that time. I am not supporting anyone who does anything violent to any other person. But the issue is, you have someone who's accused, and from personal experience, I've seen where individuals rush to the courthouse to get a protective order when they're in a child custody case. And I've watched from the outside as some of that unfolded, which is why I use the terminology under this protective order and this amendment, that there is a person that's being accused of something that may or may not have committed a crime, and their name is forever posted on court view with very little way to have their name removed from a court view. Now, there is off chances on occasion when a person that's accused can have their name removed by petitioning the court and making their case. But the problem is, with the word petitioner, as was suggested by Ms. Mead, and only taking the victim's name off, then you have the accused sitting there with no rebuttal on the conversation. And so I think that it's an important conversation that we should have in a public way. And community, I don't sit on judiciary. I only sit and see this bill at this particular point, this stop in the process. And I bring it to you as an issue that those being accused or those who have had violence inflicted on them should be treated equitably, in the sense that they deserve their, they deserve our consideration. And this language matches federal law. And so I would ask for this to be included in language to submit to the Judiciary Committee, where I will defer to whatever they believe is the best for the people of Alaska. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Public testimony, anyone in the room would like to testify to the bill? I'm open it for, there's nobody online. We just have
briefities.
Is anybody in the room would like to come up and testify to the amendment? Seeing none, Ms. Senator Gardner.
Thank you. The sponsor of the amendment suggested that City VSA would be in support of this. Is that correct?
In opposition.
In opposition to the amendment?
If I might, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Senator Gardner, in my communication with representatives from domestic violence and sexual assault, they would like to see the victims' names removed so that the victim would not be able to be identified in their community or otherwise, and that they would like the perpetrator, I'm using the word accused because there's not a crime that has actually been proved in court, and that's why I'm separating this a bit. In a protective order, one person goes to the court and makes an allegation, and that just pops up on court view. If there was an actual criminal case beyond the protective order, all of the names would be out there, the victim and the perpetrator would under the criminal case. This is seeking a protective order, and their preference is that just the victim's name is removed. And they're sitting here, they're nodding their head that I'm appropriately explaining the challenge that we face. This language is consistent with federal law, but not necessarily what they would advocate for. And my goal is to have the conversation in the judiciary hearing, and I only can see it at this particular stop.
Senator Gardner.
I wonder if those who are nodding their heads would be interested in commenting on the record on this amendment.
That's a good question. Once again, one more call for public testimony. Anybody would like to come up and testify to the amendment before us? Please put your name on the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Aliza Kosnam, the policy specialist at the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. So distinct from the council, which is a part of the Department of Public Safety, we are the actual victim advocate service agencies all across the state. So, I agree with Senator McKinnon's characterization of our view on the amendment. You know, from the victim advocate perspective, we really have two goals here. One is to absolutely uphold victim safety and privacy, and in certain cases that might require the victim making that decision that they would like to have their name anonymized. However, in our experience, and to our knowledge, when I say our, I mean all of the different member agencies, that opportunity to anonymize yourself as the petitioner, the victim, is not clear, even though it is in the administrative rules. So that's one piece. And the other piece is the benefit of having the protective order online viewable by our advocates and our shelters is that they are better able to hold the accused. I agree with Senator McKinnon's description there. The accused or the offender, just tracking them and keeping them accountable in that way. It's just one mechanism to help stay informed on who is at least accused, if not. They might have a history of domestic violence that, maybe it wasn't prosecuted or maybe it wasn't prosecuted successfully, but oftentimes, unfortunately, violence is perpetrated in cycles, and so our people, and I know Senator McKinnon has direct experience with this, you know, our executive directors might have that kind of a knowledge that this person has come up before, and, you know, so if that helps kind of understand this nuance of accused versus actually prosecuted from our perspective, so.
Thank you. No other questions?
Thank you.
Any other comments from the audience? Seeing none, and no questions on. There's nobody online other than the Attorney General's office for questions only. Public testimony is closed. I remove my objection.
I'll object. I have other questions.
Sure.
If I might. So, if the protective order is not available on court view, to whom is it available?
Mr. Chairman, we should ask the Attorney General's office, or actually Nancy Mead is here from the court system. I believe law enforcement officers can view what is available.
Ms. Mead, if you'll come up and put yourself on the record, please. And Senator Gardner, does she need to restate her question, or do you've got it?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Senator Gardner, for the record, this is Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Alaska Court System.
Thank you.
And you asked what happens with cases that are removed from court view under state statute, such as this would be. And they are removed from court view, but they are not made confidential. And other than being on the public version of court view, it's the same as any other case. So all protective orders, domestic violence, stalking, sexual assault, are transmitted by the court to DPS for posting in absence, I think it's called posting in absent, publication within absent. Law enforcement has access to the fact that there was a protective order, and people would be able to access those protective orders at the courthouse in their paper form. This prohibition and this amendment would say the court cannot post them on a publicly available internet site, which is the court view that people look at from their, you know, kitchens mm-hmm. on their laptop, and that's all that the change that would be made. Thank you.
You maintain your objection?
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you very much. Seeing no further objections, we'll adopt the amendment and ask for a motion to move the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill Number 8 as amended from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Seeing no objections, the bill moves. Thank you. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the committee document. Back on the record, the next item is Senate Joint Resolution Number 4 by Senator Olson. Senator Olson and Jackie Boyer are here for questions. brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Olson, would you like to make any more comments? So we did have open and closed public testimony last week, and for those that are online here, we open and close public testimony. Our intention is to move this resolution here this afternoon. So, Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Donald Olson, the state senator from State District T. Thank you very much for hearing this resolution again. This resolution just essentially does two things, which shows support for the local artists that are using the byproducts of subsistence hunting to create and sell their handicrafts, and urges the federal delegation to introduce legislation for the exemption of legally acquired walrus, mammoth, narwhal, and mastodon ivory.
Thank you. Any other comments from committee members? Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, for those who might have missed the public hearing last week, we do take email or other comments that can be submitted to us so that people who have opinions about this that would like to show their support, we are available to receive that additional information.
Thank you, ma'am. Senator McKinnon, would you please move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, /D, from committee with attached. I don't see with zero fiscal notes,
yep.
And individual committee recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no further comments, we move this resolution from committee. And our next meeting will be Thursday, April 6th, and we are adjourned at 4 o'clock.